Hello, and welcome to our podcast.
This is Get Lit with Jana and Carson.
I'm Carson.
And I'm Jana.
Welcome back. This is episode 6 of Get Lit, the podcast. I cannot believe...
We've already done 6? I know. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
And I do have to say, listen closely, you might hear something. That's right, people. Our sound effects are back. I did not do anything.
We don't know what happened.
I don't know why they stopped working.
We both prayed hard enough.
I didn't pray at all, but...
Didn't you do even, like, some Hail Marys?
Nope.
Well, then I prayed hard enough for the two of us. Also, full disclosure, we are eating Panda Express right now.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a mukbang. A little ASMR. Just deal with it.
So sorry in advance if you don't want to listen to me chewing.
We're hungry.
It's been a day. Okay, Carson... Let's start off. When last we met, well, no, when time before last we met, we had mentioned that our book club pick of the month for February is the book The Midnight Library by Matt Haig.
Yes.
And I had forgotten to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have since started reading it, and I'm about halfway through, and I literally hate this book.
So, you texted me the other day, and you said, I'm on page 30, and I hate this book.
It hasn't changed. I still hate this book, but I'm on page, like, 145 or 46 or something.
So, I've finished the book.
Okay, do you still hate the book?
I mean, hate is...
Well, okay, so you were saying how boring it was.
I wouldn't say I hate the book. It wasn't the most fun read. It was so boring.
Mm-hmm.
And then right at, so the time before last, in episode 4, I talked about how I had gotten halfway through.
Right.
And I thought page 142 was the best page of the book so far.
Right. I just barely got to that part and I'm like, yay, it's going to get exciting. And then you just told me, no,
yeah,
it's not.
It did not get exciting.
So now I'm bummed.
So, honestly... Sorry, I just took a bite. That was a stupid idea.
It's okay. I'll talk for a second. I feel like Matt Haig, bless his heart, wants to be a philosopher real, real bad. So he tried to write a book. Or he is a philosopher. I don't know.
Maybe we should look up the author. But, like, it did get very, well, not get. It was very philosophical, basically, the whole time.
The whole time. Very.
And...
Transcendentalist and whatever. I don't know. I'm making up words.
I would also say, like, he almost tried to make it like a self-help book.
Yes.
Did I say self-help?
You did, but it's fine. Self-help. I knew what you meant. And yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know. Like, okay. So, when I finished it, and I, like, went and rated it on Goodreads.
What'd you give it?
2 stars.
Dude, I'm not even probably going to give it 2 stars. First of all, I don't even know if I'm going to finish it. This may get added to my DNF pile.
I think that's totally fair. I gave it 2 stars, but then as I was reading, I went and read some of the reviews. I like to do this.
Oh, I do too. Because I like to find out, especially if I hate a book, like, do other people feel the same as me?
So, like, this one said, like, this book hit me so hard, blah, blah, blah. Like,
gave it 5 stars. Gabby, are you up in the night?
Gabby, like, chill. I didn't read past this book hit me so hard. But then it just got me thinking, like, I bet you the demographic that really, really enjoyed this book are people that are depressed and suicidal.
Oh, yeah.
It probably made them feel seen and great.
And heard and all the things. Yeah. Yeah.
But me, being the happy person that I am, I was like, this book is depressing.
Yes. A whole court, like, of depressing. Like, it's, oh my gosh.
Like, I don't know. So that was an issue. I didn't like the whole vibe. Like, how, yeah. Like, the first, basically the first chapter, I'm sure she's like, I hate my life.
That was just so, and then I didn't like how it was like 5 hours before I died, before I killed me, or whatever she says.
3 hours before she decided to die.
I'm just like, what the crap?
It also tried to avoid, like,
saying the word suicide.
Saying the word suicide.
But we all know.
Like I said, she decided to die. Like, we all know you took a bunch of pills, girl.
Yeah.
But...
So, not my favorite book.
No.
That we've read.
I'm glad I finished it, because this will probably become the only book I've finished this month.
Hey,
which we'll get to later. But...
I'm just glad I didn't pay full price for this. My book is a hardback that we got at the DI, and I paid, I think, $2 for it. So I'm really glad that I didn't pay full price.
I paid full.
I would have been
pissed. I paid $18 for this
book. Dude, I'm so sorry. It's Try fine. To sell it back to Thrift Books.
I could do that, but I'm going to keep it.
Oh, okay.
Got to build my personal library.
Just so that you can regret it being on your shelves.
In reading, I basically read the entire second half of this book last night.
Oh, okay.
In preparation, not because it was good. Don't get it twisted.
In preparation for the podcast.
In preparation to talk about it today, because I knew you weren't going to finish it.
I tried. I have literally tried.
I'll give you that. Anyways, so I read basically the entire second half of this book last night. I wasn't interested until
Wow, you keep flipping pages, so were you interested at all is my question.
Okay, it got a little bit interesting
at 220?
At 221.
All right.
Then that went on too long.
Uh-oh.
So then it became less interesting at around 230. So the interestingness lasted about 10 pages. And then was not interesting again until...
You're flipping a lot there. Really? That bad?
Okay, actually, just kidding.
Do you know what I do love about this book?
262 was interesting, and then 270 was not interesting anymore.
Okay.
So we get 10-page spurts.
Here's what I did like about this book. I thought it was kind of whimsical how the chapters have a different, like, name, a title. Mm-hmm. And so instead of it being chapter 5 or chapter 6, it's like walking in circles. Or yada yada. I thought that
and
was.
Then,
I thought I like. I kind of liked that because it gives you like
liked
a.
I also how the title of the chapter was mentioned within the chapter.
Yes. Like exactly.
The one I just thought of was there's a title, like a chapter called "The Flowers Have Water."
Okay.
And then later on in that,
she waters flowers.
No, it's like something someone says.
Okay.
Like they're talking about flowers. And she goes, okay, where's it at? Literally. I don't know. She's like talking to a kid and something, and then they just go, oh, nope, the flowers have water, they're good. And then, of course, it becomes a whole deep thing, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm like the flowers, and I do have water.
That's taken care of. Bugs me, yeah.
And it's like, girl, chill.
Chill.
Like it's not that deep. Serious.
So, another thing that I did like about this book, I will admit to, is I like that her like spiritual guide, I say that in quotes, mm-hmm. is the school librarian.
Yeah.
That she basically spent all her time with when she was a kid because family life was kind of crazy, hectic.
I did like that.
Because I thought to myself, you know what? My spiritual guide, again in quotes, probably would have been the school librarian too. Or a librarian, because I literally, like, that was my safe place.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, a teenager, whatever, was the library. And so, I kind of could relate to that, and I thought, okay, I like that. The one guy that she meets at the part that I'm at right now, his spiritual guide is his uncle.
Mm-hmm. And his...
And his location is...
library is the video store.
It's the video store.
So I also thought that was interesting. This is one of the biggest things that has bothered me about this book is at that part, spoilers ahead, not that any of you are going to read this book after we've been
after we gave a review
for the last literal 10 minutes. Anyway, so about halfway through the book, she's, you know, experiencing one of her many lives. And she meets this guy who's like, I'm like you. I visit my alternate lives. And, you know, how funny that we've ran into each other here. And I thought that was going to be really interesting.
So did I. I thought, okay.
She's going to, like, maybe they'll run into each other in several other lives. Maybe they're, like, soulmates and they're connected in multiple lives. And now they'll
become alive again.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then they'll find each other.
Because we know that the Midnight Library is kind of like a euphemism for transition between life and death.
Yes, it's a space between life and death.
And so that's what I was thinking is... she'll live, he'll live, they'll find each other. Apparently not.
And then I thought that, or as she continues visiting these other lives,
she'll run into all the other people in her life.
And it's like, oh, everyone is like literally in between life and death. Because that could have been a whole deep philosophical
thing. Right, why didn't he do that one?
Like, everyone's in between life and death literally always. So maybe we're all just, you know, visiting our midnight library, as it were.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. This type of scenario is mentioned in this chapter and then never again. Never again.
In the rest of the book. Which that just feels weird to me.
Like, why take the time to introduce Hugo and his whole spiel?
Yeah.
And then never mention it again.
Agree.
She does name drop him.
Just weird.
I guess not she, but Hugo is name dropped like once towards the end. She like, you know... alludes to, Hugo taught me that.
Okay, wow.
Literally once.
Okay, so like her whole speech when she was the Olympic swimmer, medalist, whatever, and she then was giving a TED Talk, basically, that whole rant that she went on, I was like, girl.
Oh.
No one cares. I don't care. You don't even care. You're making it up as you go along.
She did that about 3 more times.
Oh, flip. Okay.
In the book.
That's fantastic. So
one was she stayed with the band and they got famous.
Okay.
And when she like awoke in this life, it was the encore.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And obviously she's like, I don't know any of our songs. Like, this isn't my life. So she just obviously goes off the hook and is like, instead of my regular encore, I'm going to do blah, blah, blah.
The Beautiful Sky? The poem that she wrote? Is that the one that she did?
No.
Because that's been mentioned twice 700 so times. Far.
One chapter in this is literally a poem that is like a song that she wrote.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Anyways.
So basically, listeners, we don't love this book.
There's a whole chapter. Yeah, whole chapter. Spoiler alert, she chooses to live her root life. Okay, are we shocked? Great. I figured that's where that was going to go.
Yeah.
So when she wakes back up.
She's like, guess what? Where I was okay.
Yeah. So she wakes back up in her, like, root life, her original timeline, and obviously has to go to, like, the hospital and whatever because she tried to overdose herself.
She OD'd, yeah.
And then she, like, look at this chapter. The chapter is titled, A Thing I Have Learned, written by a nobody who has been everybody.
Okay.
And the whole entire chapter, granted it's only 2 pages, short chapters, which we can also get into, is typed like it's like a social media post she did. But it's the same thing. Like, it's not the lives we regret not living that are the real problem. It's the regret itself. Like, blah, 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 blah.
So again, for yes, 2 whole pages. This would definitely appeal to someone who is trying to find themselves, depressed, suicidal, don't know what to do.
Just unhappy.
Unhappy with their trajectory. That is not me. I'm fine with where I'm at.
I just barely realized this quote is right here. Whimsical. A feel-good book guaranteed to lift your spirits.
No, actually, it's made me depressed.
The Washington Post needs to check their resources because what?
Right. Who thought that? That's weird.
This is not a feel-good book. It does not lift your spirits.
It does not, in fact.
But I digress because art is subjective. So you read it.
Why does your sound look like it's so loud?
Because it probably is.
Okay.
Sorry to the.
But we don't want to touch anything because we got our sound effects back.
Yeah, I'm not going to mess with it.
Do the cheering one. Okay.
To round out our conversation about the Midnight Library, I'm going to go ahead and do this.
Listeners, if you want to read it, cool, good for you. But we don't recommend it. Now that we have...
Read it if you're depressed.
Yeah.
Read it if you're suicidal. Well, maybe go to the doctor if you're suicidal.
Read it if you're a philosopher.
If you're looking for a self-help book, some philosophy. Gosh, I don't quotes know.
I think there's some better ones than this.
Well, you know what?
Yeah,
we're working with what we've got.
Anyway,
Midnight Library. I gave it 2 stars.
Well, so far I'm giving it 0, but
and I have purchased some other Matt Haig books.
Are you gonna read them?
Eventually, I will.
Okay.
Now I'm not as thrilled about that.
Yeah. It really is funny how this got so much hype, and that's why we were like, oh yeah, let's read it.
Yeah. What the book club of the month is for at the Get Lit podcast.
Right.
So we can explore things
that maybe we wouldn't normally. And we're going to put them out there for you to also determine for yourselves.
Yep.
Cool. Okay.
What's next?
What are we reading? So I just started listening to... It's a trilogy, and I only have the first 2 books so far, but it's, I don't, what's the author's name? I can't even think of what the author's name is. Let me look it up really fast. So, the first book is called Belladonna, and it's, like, I am fascinated by this, and, okay, so it's by Adeline Grace, and I do have to say, the audiobook is to me amazing. So it's about this girl, and her name is I haven't even looked it up because I'm just listening to the audio version, and you know how sometimes things don't sound correct. So her name is either Sigma or Signa. I don't know which it is.
Sigma,
because it sounds both ways. So anyway, she basically, everybody around her is dies. And so she starts to think that it's like her fault. Her name is Signa with an N. Okay, so anyway, death comes. He has a corporeal form, right? But the narrator does the Signa voice. She does the voices for all the other people. But when she does death, it's like this. And death said. And it's like this low, and it's literally like, I can't even tell you. It sounds like death would sound. And I love it so much. But this is to me, the book is really good. It's going by very fast. So book 1 is Belladonna. Book 2 is Foxglove. And book 3 is Wisteria. And so I haven't bought Wisteria yet because at our Barnes & Noble, they only have the hardback. And I bought the other 2 in paperback. Because let's be real. Paperback is cheaper than hardback, y'all. I'd rather pay, $18.99 for a book than $32.99.
Yeah.
Can we talk for a second?
Why are they so expensive,
though?
What's the original price of your Midnight Library?
Oh, let's look.
I wonder how much that is.
But also, why are they so expensive? That just feels dumb to me.
Agreed.
Oh, my son is FaceTiming me. Flip.
Oh, it's right up there.
It is where?
Right here.
I can't read.
$26. And I paid $18 for a brand new paperback.
Ugh. He's going to be mad at me that I didn't answer.
Sorry.
It's fine. He'll find out later.
Okay. Is that the only thing you've read? We have updated since a while ago.
No, I have finished. I have listened to a couple other things.
Okay.
Let me go recently on my... reading challenge. I don't like how Goodreads changed kind of their format. It's harder to find what you've read now, which I kind of bugs me. Oh, What the River Knows.
You can't spell
by
that.
Isabel Ibáñez. Freaking awesome.
Oh, is that how you say that?
Well, okay, it's an N-A.
Okay.
Ibáñez, I think so.
Okay, that is.
I so freaking Ibanez. Good.
Okay, you
so
can't spoil
freaking
it.
Good.
I bought those and I'm so excited to read them.
Yes, I just ordered the second. No, I didn't. I didn't order them because I don't even own the first one. I listened to it.
They're at Barnes & Noble. I have them at Barnes & Noble.
I'm sure they do. Also, when I was on Sister's Trip with my sisters in Puerto Rico, I read The Boyfriend by Freda McFadden and literally almost finished it on the plane ride down. I could not put it down. I had to physically put my bookmark in, put it away in my backpack, or I would have finished it. So freaking good.
Okay.
So that was good. And then I'm finished like the third one in the Red Queen series. So I'm making progress on that one too. My thing is that I'm always reading like multiple books at once. Because some of them I only listen to. Others I actually physically read.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're going to love What the River Knows. It is so phenomenal. Excited.
So I discovered that book. So the school I teach at is right down the street from our public library.
Okay.
So every couple weeks, I take all my classes to the public library so my students can check out books. So I was in the teen section with my students one day, and I saw that book on the shelf, and it looked like relatively new.
Yeah, it's got for a library really cool cover.
It was beautiful, and I saw the title, What the River Knows, and it made me think of the song from Frozen 2.
Oh.
That's why it caught my eye, because I was like, oh, What the River Knows. Like, that's... Anyway, so I took a picture of it from the public library, so I'd be like, I want to, like, read this. I should buy it. And then I think literally 2 days later, we were at Barnes & Noble, and mm-hmm. I bought the first and second one. I didn't even know there was a second one.
I didn't even notice that you bought it. Was I with you when you bought it?
Mm-hmm.
How do I not even remember that?
I don't know. You're fake.
What?
I bought the first one, and right next to it, they were right on the front table right when we walked into Barnes & Noble.
Dude, I don't even remember this.
It was one of the earlier times we've been Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm very excited to read those, so don't spoil it. I figured it would be good, and I'm so
glad
it was good.
It is amazing. I did love... So I listened to that as we were sitting on the beach, too, and...
Nice.
So I read two. I got two books done while on our trip, which I thought was really good.
Yeah.
So I took like four physical books in my suitcase.
Oh, wow.
Only got to one of them, but it's fine.
You were only there for 4 days.
Right, I know. It's fine.
Anyways, so you did better than me, per usual.
It's fine.
I have been reading Tower of Dawn since...
Still?
Well, so I spent the first... the first weekish of February reading The Midnight Library in preparation for last time we recorded an episode.
Right.
So when maybe since like anything. The second, maybe first or second week of February, I've been reading Tower of Dawn, Throne of Glass.
How far are you in it?
I'm over 75% done.
Oh, you're getting so close.
I'm getting really close. But, okay, I have thoughts on this book.
Oh, okay.
First and foremost, do I regret not doing the tandem read?
Yes.
No. I don't.
Okay, if you're sure.
I think that would have made me skim this book.
Do you think? I don't think. Because the way that you would have had to read it, I don't know. I think that you still would have been just as invested. Because to me, splitting it up like that made it more interesting because you knew everything. The chapters you were reading at the same time were happening at the same time.
Right. And I understand that. But I think if I was reading this at the same time as Empire of Storms, I would rush through the chapters in here just to get back to Empire of Storms because it's more action-packed.
Okay. Fair.
So I do not regret reading these books independently.
Okay.
Like, by themselves. However, I knew this book was going to be slow going into it.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has told me that it was. And so I was expecting that. So I wasn't necessarily surprised, but I was like, Sarah Josephine Mass.
Just made up her middle name.
Like, she does not make it easy with this book.
No.
The chapters are like 3 times longer
than
the chapters in the other books.
It's true.
And nothing... Nothing is happening.
So, I don't want to say nothing is happening. Right.
There is stuff happening.
Foreshadowing and stuff like that is happening. That is not our literary term of the day.
But I wouldn't know that.
However,
reading this for the first time. Would I?
No.
So, like, when I'm reading Kingdom of Ash, am I going to be like, oh, that explains why that happened in Tower of Dawn?
Not really.
What is it foreshadowing?
The end of the book.
Oh, the end of this
the
book?
The end of the series. The end of that book. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Everything I have learned with Sarah J. Maas is a little clue. Everything.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, sometimes...
Stuff you don't even think is a clue.
I try to get ahead of myself, and like when the most random things are mentioned, I'm like, I bet that's going to be important later. Usually I'm wrong.
That's why those weirdo people that annotate their books, that's what they're marking up. It's because they're like, is this a clue? Mark it.
See, and I would be mortified if I was wrong. because I usually am, that I wrote in this book.
Oh, I don't. Prediction. I do not love that people write in their books.
No.
Now, putting a little post-it to mark something—that's one thing.
No, but people write in the margin.
And I know. Then
they just put the little post-it note to flag that they wrote in the book.
And I'm like, I don't vibe with that. I don't either.
I don't vibe with that.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, I feel like there's been kind of just like the Midnight Library.
A lot of nothing.
I really don't want to compare the Midnight Library to Tower of Dawn to Ms. Sarah Josephine Mass.
But it is one of the slower books.
But, as I said about the Midnight Library earlier, we got like 10-page, you know, spurts of interesting stuff.
So,
I feel like there's extended periods of blandness when nothing... I mean, like, stuff is happening, obviously. Like, the story is moving along, but nothing, like, monumental is happening.
Right. Can you imagine the people who read it as she released them originally? They read Empire of Storms.
Mm-hmm. They wait.
Massive cliffhanger, right? So then they're thinking, okay, the cliffhanger is going to be resolved within the first little bit of the next book. And to find out that it's not, I think I would have been like, that's it. We're done. Yeah.
Well, and then to have to wait a year for this next book.
Mm-hmm.
Read it and then wait a
year for the next one.
Yeah, to get answers. I don't know. I'm glad that I don't really read books as they are being released.
Yeah.
Because that would be a struggle.
I'm trying now to read books that are only like complete series because it stresses me out not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also because I'm the kind of reader where it's in and right out. I won't remember by the time the next book comes out anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know. There's been, you know, chapters where I'm like, oh, this is, you know, getting good or blah, blah, blah. And then the rest of it, I'm just kind of like... So it's just taken me a while to get through this because I'm not like...
Yeah, but you're close.
I'm not super eager to keep going back to it as I have been with the rest of them. Yeah. I even broke into, like, part two of the book. Like, when I got halfway, it breaks into part two.
Yeah.
And usually, that's where the story picks up. So, like, Air of Fire, I am an Air of Fire hater till the day I die. I did not like that one.
Okay.
Anyway.
But now you're going to be a Tower of Dawn hater?
No. I kind of forgot where I was going with this.
I don't know either.
Oh, like Air of Fire. So, I feel like the first half of that book... was like Tower of Dawn. I was bored. I was like yawn. I didn't want to keep going back to it. Okay, I did want to keep going back to it, but I wasn't like, I have to read that book right now. I'm dying to know.
Right, right.
And then I hit part two of Air of Fire, and I read the second half in a day.
Right, because you're, again, the way she writes her books is usually the second half or the part two, it gets better.
So not this one.
Nope.
I'm still bored. But I'm over... I've got less than 25% of the book to go.
Yeah. Which 25% of her books is like 200 pages. So...
It's a lot. I mean, I'm on page 490. And there is...
Don't read the end.
Stop. I'm just looking at the page number. So 490 out of 663 pages.
Okay, so a little less than 200.
Yeah. Anyways, okay. So that's that. Tower of Dawn and Midnight Library is all I have been reading.
Okay.
I got most of my headway done in Tower of Dawn because I was not reading Midnight Library after I got halfway through because I was super bored.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just happened to finish it yesterday because I knew I needed to finish it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's okay. What I'm up to.
Let's do this next.
Okay, so we have chosen our next Get Lit Book Club book for the month of March. I'm very excited about this one, and it may or may not have been my idea.
It was yours.
As was the last one.
It must be because you don't like my choices. It's fine.
It's fine.
So I get the next three.
Okay. I wish we had a drum roll sound effect. It's fine.
We don't?
No.
Okay.
So hold on. Our book of the month for March is going to be Light Lark by Alex Astor.
This is the first...
Anyway,
you have to tell me when you're going to do stuff. It's the first book in a series written by this cute young gal. She is young, correct?
Yeah.
And this is her first series that she has written?
Yes. Well, it was her first book.
Yes.
And it became a series. Wasn't planning on it being a series, I don't think.
But it has taken off, like...
I feel like it's taken the world by storm.
Yeah.
So, one of the reasons why I picked this up is Miss Alex Astor does a great job marketing her own books.
Yeah, she does.
Through TikTok.
She is phenomenal. Her account is awesome.
Okay, she's 29. I thought she was
younger. That's amazing, though. I thought she was younger, but
I did.
Still.
I thought she was, like,
still
my age. Anyway, so I see her TikToks all the time. I don't even follow her, but
they just pop up.
I'm on BookTok.
Yeah.
But she posts like the coolest videos of like, I'm going to convince you to read my book in 60 seconds. And mm-hmm. she just, you know, headlines it. Like, here's what it has. It's got plot twists. It's got romance. It's got, you know, love triangles. It's got, you're going to keep guessing until the very last page and all this stuff. And I'm like, honestly, you've convinced me.
Yeah.
So currently, the Light Lark series has three books that are published in public.
Right.
She just announced recently...
the fourth book is going to
be... The fourth book, two novellas, we would
say. Two novellas in one.
And then there's also announced... We don't know what the fourth book is, or I guess fifth book is, or what it's about. But she's announced that there is another full-length book coming in the series this year.
So two this year.
Yes.
The novella together one and then the...
And she just released the third one at the end of 2024.
Yeah.
So
I feel like this is a good time to come into this series because
yes.
it is...
It's very
getting
popular.
Close to completion and it's yes. super popular.
I've been wanting to read this. I just actually
Same.
Bought this
so,
just the other day.
I bought it several months ago. Sydney has already read the first one. Actually, by now, Sydney's probably read this... All that's written. To,
okay.
But she did read it right after I bought the first... I only have the first two that I physically own.
That's... Me too.
And she grabbed it that day and read it. So...
Okay. So the other thing about this book is it has been picked up by Universal Studios to be made into a movie already.
That's phenomenal.
At least the first one.
That just shows...
It's just the first one.
That just shows that it's... successful or
yeah.
it's a good story.
Yeah. So I brought the physical copy so I could read the little description on the back.
Okay.
To give ourselves and the listeners.
Gotcha. Get her done.
Okay. So it says, welcome to the centennial. Every 100 years, the island of Light Lark appears for only 100 days to host a deadly game where the rulers of 6 realms fight to break their curses and win unparalleled power.
Kind of like Hunger Games-ish.
But fantasy. Instead of dystopian.
Yeah.
Each ruler has something to hide. Each curse is uniquely wicked. To break them and save themselves and their realms, one ruler must die. To survive, Isla Crown must lie, cheat, betray, even as love complicates everything.
Ooh.
And I have to say,
the cover is
really gorgeous.
Pretty, but the hardcover ones that are in the box set.
So that's the collector's edition.
Freak.
It's just this
They
one.
Are beautiful.
Yeah.
But this is pretty. It's like a heart with
like
flowers sprouting out of it.
Thorns too.
Yeah. Like it's so pretty.
So
and
I
then the second one, is called what?
Night Bane.
Mm-hmm. And then Sky
Shade.
Yeah.
Oh, so cover illustrations. Natalie Sousa.
Yes.
You're killing... Oh, wait. Cover design. I don't know the difference between illustrations and design.
I don't either, so...
Anyways, yeah.
It's really pretty.
I will say right off the bat, one thing I don't love about this book is the...
Oh.
Like, there's thorns on
thorns
the
on
corner
the edges?
Of every
That's weird.
Page.
That... is extra.
It just kind of bugs me. I'm getting... That's so dramatic of me, but... It
That's
does
fine.
Bug me.
I like that. Okay.
So, Light Lark, read it with us, and we're going to be sharing our thoughts. Next episode will probably be about halfway through.
Yep.
We'll share our thoughts, and then two episodes from now, we will
talk about it.
Talk about our final thoughts.
So, unless you enjoy spoilers, you might want to read it so that you can go along with us. Okay.
Okay, we're going to move on to an update on the flower letters.
If you're following us or listening to any of our other pods, you know that we are receiving these.
That kind of felt like an old-time sound effect.
Did it? Okay.
I should have done it earlier.
It's fine. So mine is, this one was a letter that Audrey Rose was sending back to Charlie. They're going to hook up this Saturday at the dance.
Oh.
They're going to spend the day together. Yeah, because then he's got to go shipped out or something.
Isn't he already shipped out?
Yeah, but like he's like, he's coming back for something.
Listen, with the letters, we're not getting all the like in between
stuff.
We're just getting the letters.
The cool thing that came with mine, because the letter is, it's cool. It's the storyline is continuing, right? But I wouldn't say that it's like the most fantabulous thing ever. But she talks in there about how she's going to have this treat for him to give to him, that she won a contest with the other secretaries in the military secretary pool, I guess, and they voted that hers was the best, and it's for coconut pecan tarts. So we need to get together and make these.
You didn't tell them what this is.
Oh, it's a recipe. Sorry, I'm a brain dead. So it's a recipe that she was including to send to Charlie, and she's also said, and I'm going to make it for you.
So you received the letter and this recipe.
And the recipe card.
Okay, I think that would be actually fun to make.
Right?
We could record while we make it.
Oh, that would be chaotic.
And I think our listeners already know
we are chaotic.
We literally
if nothing
don't
else.
Know what we're doing.
But they do look yummy. I'm not going to lie, they look really yummy. So.
Okay, so my update, I'm doing another blind
Open
for you, because obviously I just received this a couple days ago and I haven't had time to read it, so I'm just going to tell you what's inside. So this is, instead of a letter this time,
it's
excerpts from Sam Hunt's journal.
Oh,
so Sam. He at this point probably has just met up with Orchid May. Oh my gosh, and he's sketching in here.
Wow, that's cool. What a cool journalist. Honest.
So, we're reading his personal journal. That's crazy.
That feels like an invasion of his privacy, but... Oh, okay.
Oh, it says, what I imagine Miss Entwistle would be like, what she's actually like.
That makes me wonder. She's like karate chopping him or like jiu-jitsu fighting him.
Okay, that's funny. Okay. So we have excerpts from Sam Hunt's journal. If you don't remember, Sam Hunt is the artist...
Slash boxer.
Boxer, love interest.
We think.
Okay, we also have
a poster.
I keep getting these.
Those are cool. You need to hang them up.
Barbados. Home of the flying fish. This is beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I should start hanging
okay,
all
these so up. These people like a... that do the flower letters, they've got to be artsy fartsy because...
I wonder if they have made this.
They have to. Well, what's on the back of it? What's that a photo
so
of?
So this is St. John's Church in Hackleton's Cliff.
So that must be a place.
Drawn on stone. So this is a picture drawn on stone.
So is that a place in Barbados?
So this says this is an archive from the British Library. I don't know the context of why this is included, but...
Okay.
I don't know why the Barbados thing is included either, because they're in the Amazon.
No, it's not. Barbados is a...
No. The characters...
They're on the way, though. They're on the way to the Amazon.
So would they have gone through Barbados?
Probably from
Great Britain.
Down this way, they would go through the Caribbean, which is where Barbados is. I would think. There's a ton in yours. Wow.
But remember,
another thing about the flying fish. Okay.
So we talked about this. This is
it's the newest one. I get it.
Newest collection. Okay. So I think they've, and I want to, this is one of their first.
Right.
So that's, I think, why there's inconsistencies in the content of our letters.
Right.
You're getting basically nothing. I'm getting a lot of stuff.
It's fine.
The flying fish, this looks like another...
This is probably part of what he's making for their research stuff that they're doing.
Yeah. So sketches from Sam. There's a little newspaper clipping. And then this is a read last thing. And then we have a picture of Howard Carter. I don't know where
this is. This read last every time has been a telegram.
Yeah.
For yours. So that's cool.
So then the last thing in here is a picture of Mr. Howard Carter.
We don't know who he is yet.
I don't know who he is. I need to.
We'll find out. Maybe he's in the letter.
And you know what? To be fully transparent with our listeners, I haven't read the last letter I got either.
Well, to be fully transparent, I have.
I've been struggling.
They come in my mail and I rip them right open.
I've been struggling to get through The Midnight Library by Matt Haig and Tower of Dawn by Sarah Josephine Ness.
Okay, bye.
So pardon me.
Sarah, we do apologize if Josephine is not your middle name.
I'm gonna look
Maybe
it up.
It's J, like mine.
Oh.
Because it is J. It is Sarah J.
I'm looking her up. Sarah J. Mouse. What's your middle name, Sarah?
Maybe it's just J.
Janet.
Ooh.
Sarah Janet Mouse.
Josephine, like Josephine is better. We apologize in advance, Sarah.
I'm not sorry at all.
Okay.
Okay, so last thing on our list is the literary term of the episode.
Okay, the literary term is antithesis. This is a literary device that places opposite words, ideas, or qualifiers, qualities. I can't read my own writing. Parallel to each other. It enhances writing by illuminating differences and making your point more persuasive. I have a couple examples. So in Charles Dickens' book...
I don't mean to interrupt you, but it is the B-roll.
Oh. Okay. So in Charles Dickens' book, A Tale of Two Cities, he writes, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. So he is right then, he is showing a parallel between two things that are completely opposite to set the stage for his book. Then... In a speech given by Martin Luther King Jr. in 1964, he said, "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools." So in that, he was saying, we got to learn to work together or we're both idiots. Mm-hmm. And so that is showing antithesis. I did look up the pronunciation. It's not antithesis.
Okay.
It is antithesis.
Okay, so opposite
things,
words, ideas, or qualities parallel.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm trying to think of like an example I would use in my daily life.
You would not use probably this at all. It would be more literarily.
Oh, really?
Literarily is such a great word. I made that up. I don't know that we would commonly use.
I feel like it's so simple that I've had to have said something. Like,
probably.
Probably not, though. I don't speak very intelligently day-to-day.
Anyway, there you go. Well, you are now smarter for having listened to that. Remember, listeners, get your copy of Lightlark so that you can read it with us during the month of March.
By the next time we post, which will be...
Middle of March?
About 2 weeks from whenever this one is posted. So if you're listening to this right now, you have 2 weeks.
Basically.
To read to the first half of Lightlark.
It's just the way the cookie crumbles when we post our pods.
Deal with it. No promises, because who knows when I'm going to post this thing.
Dude, get on it.
Okay.
Carson is our technology person.
Doesn't do a very good job, though.
Well, but Jana can't do anything, so it's better that Carson does it.
You are the financial brains behind the operation.
I provided today's meal. Thank you to Panda Express.
Thank you to DoorDash.
Sorry if you were listening to Meet You.
I apologize for that.
Anyway.
Well, that's about all we have, folks. So thank you for listening. And please remember to get lit, whatever that means to you.
Peace out.
Bye.